Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you are killing some time with iMarcus Bronzy. Let's get straight to it after I plug the website, which is howtokillanhour.com. Go there and you can see videos, even clips of this very special podcast with our very special guest today, the one and only Mandip Gill.
I can't take you seriously.
Because I'm what? Because Mandip, let's get this out of the way. Mandip and I have known each other for a while, right? And she's, you're not used to me doing presenter Marcus.
And it's really animated.
What? Okay. So should I be like,
don't change.
Me, boo. So first and foremost, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes, you have previously been on How to Kill an Hour and on the Marcus Meets podcast. And I'm glad to have you back on the show this time. Mandip, you've only gone and done the big one, ain't ya? You've done the big one, mate.
What, you can smell it?
You've done... You've done it, mate. You've done it. One of the biggest ever franchises ever. In a sci-fi world, Mandip Gill... How did that happen? Talk us through the process. I mean, like, all joking aside, this is a really big deal. Like, you know, Doctor Who is known all over the world. It's, you know, it's, how many years have we been absorbing this great content that is Doctor Who?
I'd like to say since the 60s.
Mm-hmm. 1963, to be correct. Get me. There we go. So how did this come around, Mandip?
So, like any other audition, I got it through my agent, actually.
And shout out to the agent.
Shout out to the agent, Sam. And yeah, so I went for one audition. This was last August. Mm-hmm. Went for one audition, and then there was a really big wait in between whilst the grown-ups were out of the country who were deciding.
Fair enough.
Then went for a second audition quite a long time after the first audition. So I had so much anxiety.
So when we're talking about a lot of time, how much
like
time?
Like 6 weeks.
Six weeks?
And also, we weren't actually told, I can hear myself. So we weren't actually told what we were going for. We just knew the casting directors that we're meeting. Mm-hmm. So obviously I've done some research, knows that he does Doctor Who, does other shows, whatnot. And just thought, and I actually didn't even know how many episodes or for what part it were. We were really told very little.
Yeah.
So I just wanted one episode. So right. I'm just this excited for one episode. And then about six weeks later, we did our second audition, which Jodie was in the room. Loads of grown-ups, the execs and the writers and whatnot. And then there was another big wait whilst they decided. Oh,
really?
My God, that wait was so painful.
Did you know when you were in the room with Jodie what character she was actually playing at the time?
At that point, I think the second audition, we knew what the show was. And I knew she'd been, she'd been announced. So I knew she was playing the Doctor.
Right.
I now know it's Doctor Who. I still don't know, like, for how many episodes or what part.
Right.
So then I did the audition with her and we just got on like a house on fire. So I just thought, oh God, I'm going to make a new best friend.
Yeah.
Even if I don't get the job,
right.
I'll just stalk her. And then, then there was a really big wait until we heard back, like the longest wait, but also I really wanted it. I really, really wanted it. So it was quite painful to say the least.
So when you got the news, how was that given to you that you were going to play? Is it Yasmin?
Yasmin Khan. Yeah. So that day I took myself out for a little walk because it was just getting too much. Mm. I turned down another job because I really wanted this one.
Right.
And then my agent phoned and she was like, you've been offered another job. And I was like, oh, that's really good. But it weren't Doctor Who. And then she'd put so much pressure on them with the saying, you know, look, she's been offered work elsewhere, that they told her, and she just told me, and then I just started crying. I started crying. And I was outside near a park, and I never react like this. This, like, me and my agent have had conversations in which she said, you really need to work on how you react to when I tell you good news, because I am so happy. I'm just not that person that goes, oh my God, I can't believe it. I just go, wow, that's so good, later on to myself. So I started crying, then put the phone down, then walked to Sainsbury's, didn't buy anything because I weren't going to Sainsbury's for anything.
Right.
So I still came out empty handed, and then was like, still don't know what part it is. So I had to phone him back and say, nobody told me in the room, like, what part it was really, how many episodes. She was like, they still haven't told you. I was like, no, but even if it's one episode, I'm so excited.
So they were just like, you're in, and you were like, ah!
Because Bradley Walsh had also been announced as a companion, and so I just was like, no, he's a companion, so I can't be the companion.
Right, so you were presuming at the time it's going to be one companion
yeah,
and like, then you're going to have like a little spot role.
I just thought I'd got a guest lead. And then I stopped crying and went back and couldn't tell anybody anything, but it's fine now.
So you had to mop up the tears and then just...
Yeah, but like, there was no anxiety then, so I was just like, went back home and just did my own thing.
And just chilled out.
Yeah, and it was like 6 weeks was just over.
Nice. And then from that position, when did it get to the point where you kind of realised, wow, I'm a companion, I've got, you know, actual much more clout than I thought I would?
I don't really know if I think that now. So we went to like the read through and they were there.
You know, you actually are on Doctor Who though. That's, yeah, but, that's sure, right?
Yeah, but we've just been in this massive bubble in Cardiff.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really know what it is. I don't really know what I'm part of. That's
awesome.
That's like, I just don't know.
When was the first kind of, because I know you've been kind of going around doing press and stuff. How apparent to you was it that Doctor Who's a really big thing, not just in the UK, all over the world? When did that become apparent to you?
We went to San Diego for Comic-Con in July. And I think then I realised, yeah, like you say, this is bigger than us at home, and we're doing it for something way bigger. It's bigger than Cardiff, it's bigger than the UK. But so it's massive there. Like, there was all dressed as the Doctor. But you just can't fathom. I genuinely cannot fathom the size of this, and I don't know if I ever will. You just do it. Like any other job, you do it, you really, really enjoy it, and then you hope that it's obviously going to do well. It's got a massive following. That work has already been done before we've got there, you know. Other doctors, other companions, other actors have done that work, and the audience love it, and they've stayed with this show for many, many years. But honestly, you do your job, you try really hard, you have a good time, and then you just go, whatever.
Okay, I mean, you do know this is going to be a role that's going to stay with you forever, ever. Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't want to put the pressure, I mean, do you feel that pressure at all? More excitement, right?
But it's not that I don't want it.
Yeah.
I want to be, yeah. I love the costume, I love the little space buns, like, I want little dolls of myself, I want people to dress up as me.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want it, I just don't get it, because I haven't had a glimpse of it. We've just got people drawing bits of art online and whatnot. So no, I haven't. Like,
that is all to come.
I mean, maybe ask me next week. But
yeah, that is all to come. And in terms of the rest of the cast, I mean, you already said you're getting well with Jodie, Bradley, and Tosin. Both of you on Hollyoaks, right?
Yes. So me and Tosin were on Hollyoaks at the same time. We didn't have scenes together,
right,
but we were there at the same time. He was always in the green room, and we'd like hung out together. Went to his leaving do, but I saw Tosin a lot. In London, he tends to just walk around London, and I bump into him, and we go for hot chocolate, or we've been for a picnic in the park.
So you just skulk around and bump into each other.
I'm doing stuff, and Tosin is just walking around.
Shout out to Tosin.
So we've known each other for years. I mean, Brad is the funniest man I have ever met. Like, he's just a barrel of laughs.
Would you like to go on the chase? Because I feel like a celebrity chase could happen where Brad's. He's still being Bradley Walsh, right? He's still, he is where he is. And then,
no, because I'd be like, why are you putting that voice on? Brad, why are you in that suit? Why are you acting like that?
I mean, I'd watch that. That'd be a wicked chase. Do you think you'd be able, you think you'd come back from the first set of questions?
Absolutely,
I mean, you
not.
Have watched The Chase, right?
Yeah,
just checking.
Absolutely not. So I did get asked to go on The Chase before Doctor Who, and I politely declined.
Why?
because I said to my agent, look, I don't know Jack. I said, I'm going to embarrass you, me, my future children. And she just said, let's politely decline.
They do rip you on, if you go on the chase and you don't do very well, you do get ripped.
Right, Brad takes a piss out of me all day long. He says, have you really just said that? Do you actually think that? Is that what you was told? I couldn't imagine going on his show to then get the piss taken out of me.
He's a professional. He'd definitely do that. So, like, when you're working together then, because I know you're full of bants, definitely Jodie's full of bants, Tosin and Braddy, like, so how much fun are you having?
So, too much, but Jodie and Brad are so fast and quick-witted and naughty that me and Tosin, I often get bullied. Pretty much every day I get bullied. I'm much quieter than them and I'm really professional. You know, I'm going to stand on my mark if you're asking me to stand on my mark. Uh-huh. Brad's just not standing on his mark. He's not. He's so naughty, like, the things that he's done, and we've burst out laughing, and I've had to grasp on him after. I've talked direct to her. I was like, I'm so sorry, that weren't me. She was like, I know, that was Brad. I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm just dying out. But we have so much fun. It's such a laugh.
That's really good. Like, I want to go serious for a real quick sec. Like, how important is it for you this season? There's been a lot of buzz around there being a female doctor and there being, like, a lot of diversity in the cast. How important is that to you for people to kind of just see that there can be major, major roles that are occupied by women, people of colour, do you know what I mean? And that moving forward.
It's incredibly important. It's so important. But what I struggle with is it's 2018 and we're still having these conversations. Now, I've been around for a long time. So I cannot believe that we're having the conversations. But until it's over, I guess we do need the conversations. But yeah, it's massively important. And, you know, Jodie being the first female doctor is not just so little girls can look up to her. Little boys can look up to people. You know, they have a lot of female role models in their life. Like, this wouldn't be a weird thing to go, oh, the doctor's now played by a female. And then, like you say, you know, there's people of colour. There's two people of colour in one show. And I have read comments where people are like, it's political correctness gone mad. It's just realistic. If everyone looked around, I mean, there's me and you in this room, two out of four of us are of colour.
There we go.
But, like, if you genuinely looked around, I think there'd be very few people that would be able to say, I don't know anyone that's black or anyone that's Asian. You know, even if you go to your local shop or anything, we have been around for a very long time and it's 2018, we still have this conversation. But until it's over, I guess we need to keep talking about this. So as much as, like, we're asked this all the time, like, any, you know, we were asked this in America a lot because they was big on diversity.
Yeah, it's a big thing out there. Yeah. Right?
So we was asked a lot, but you can't get bored of it because it's still prevalent. So we need to speak about it. Mm. But it's incredibly important for people. And we're not the first people that have done it. There's lots of very talented Asian actors and actresses on TV that I looked up to when I was young that were on British television. That have made it that bit easier for me to get into. But I now need to make it that little bit easier for other people to get into. And how I do that, I'm not sure. I guess it's just breaking down barriers and you know, breaking down stereotypes. And also getting to a place where we're going for roles that are not Asian specific. So now going back to Doctor Who, like, I play Yasmin Khan. A lot of the episodes are nothing to do with the fact that she's Asian. It's just that she's a person, a young girl from Sheffield that got chosen to do this, but it's also not ignored, which I think is the clever part. We don't then just bypass the fact that, you know, I am of Asian descent. We also touch on that, and we some episodes are just nothing about that. You know, I'm just a young girl with difficulties like everybody else.
So it's a good balance.
It's a really, really good balance. But Chris is a great writer, so like, I didn't know what was coming in the episodes when I took the job. I just hoped that I weren't there just to go, we've got an Asian person in it now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we'll see. But it's ridiculously important, and we'll probably have this conversation in 5 years' time.
You know what? I believe so, but I hope that things have shifted a little.
Yeah, I hope
that we're celebrating a bit more. Whilst nothing's ever going to be perfect, right? Mm. But I hope we're celebrating a little bit more.
Or that we go for parts that are, you know, I'm not saying don't cast white people. That's not what this is about. But exactly. It has to be a reflection of society. But also just cast people that are right for the job. So taking as many actresses for the role of Sheena, and she could be any colour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but she's right for the job. She fits the job and she can do it very well.
Mm.
Or like, you know, we still need more female parts as leads. You know,
not just
supporting a male.
So yeah, I agree.
I guess just going for a part that's got no name and you happen to fit, now we'll figure it out.
One day, when you're pulling the strings, when you're out there running auditions, Mandip, you can
one
do
day.
That.
Yeah. One day.
All right,
when I'm putting
enough.
Myself in everything. I'm like, I fit him and I fit her as
yeah.
well.
I fit that. Yeah.
I fit that baby.
So, Yasmin. Let's talk about Yasmin Khan, man. What's she like? What can you tell us about her?
So what can I tell you? Okay, I know what I can tell you. So Yaz is a young girl from Sheffield who has a really cool job, you know, a job that she really enjoys, is really, really good at. And she gets to a place where she's just like, you know what, I can do this with my eyes closed.
Right.
And she speaks to her boss and she says, can you offer me a little bit more? Mm-hmm. And she does. She gets a little bit more. She gets a phone call, which changes her life. And I guess you just have to be careful what you wish for.
Oh, okay, cool. And throughout, there's so many no's I'm going to get coming up, but throughout this season, what can you tell us about her journey as a character? Not a lot. By the way, just so you know, there's a publicist, he's out of frame if you're looking at the video and obviously off mic now, but we've got someone in the room who's basically here to say, you can't say that. Sorry, mate. Sorry, Steve. I'm not saying you like that, but he's like, you can't say this. Right then, what can you... This is going to be so funny. So the journey of all the characters, I presume, is not going to be in Cardiff, right? Throughout... Am I allowed to go? Yeah, cool. In terms of characters that we've seen in the past, as well as new characters, I presume, are we going to see some... familiar faces?
No. So we don't see any familiar faces. Okay. I know I can say that, can't I?
Okay.
You know, it's new. There's new monsters, there's new guest actors, it's based in a new place. We visit new stories, historical events, futuristic events. Everything is completely new. But that doesn't mean that we've forgotten what the show is about and who it was for. Mm. And so there, you know, it's written that there are so many juicy little bits for Whovians. And then new Whovians, this is a chance for new people to jump on board. So I only watched Doctor Who, and I continue to watch it now because I'm in it and because I had the meetings for it. I just thought, let me just see what it's about, see the acting style. But this series, new people can jump on with us and go on the journey with us.
Wicked.
And you don't have to know a lot of, you know, about the history of Doctor Who. It's all told to you in each episode and explained to you in each episode, but also not forgetting that there's people that have been watching it for years and that are massive supporters of the show. You know, Chris hasn't forgotten about them people. It's just 10 standalone episodes, you know, ready for new people. And
okay,
out.
So the Whovians can absorb it and enjoy it, but if you're not a hashtag Whovian yet,
yes.
Then, yeah, you can come into this
get on
and take it
us.
And understand it.
Because we learn as actors as well, we learn so much in each episode. Like, our characters learn so much. You know, I'll be honest, there were certain times when I was like, I have no idea what she's saying. But my character didn't need to know what she was saying.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, I'm probably going to look like I can act right now.
Wicked.
So there will be people where they're like, I don't get what she's saying. But it is explained to you throughout. And so you can completely join in. Because I know I watched it, you know, I've tried to watch it in the past before I got the meeting. I couldn't get into it. I thought it weren't for me, but it weren't the case. I just didn't give it enough time.
Okay. And you are now a Whovian then, is it fair enough to say?
That's quite a strong word there.
I mean, I don't want to throw it around lightly, you know.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure because I don't want to take it away from people that are actual Whovians. And that
you've only been a Whovian for 5 years. I've been a Whovian since 86.
It's like, yeah. I'm probably going to get a lot of abuse if I say
I've been a Whovian since 63. Yeah, you don't
so
want
I'm
that.
Just going to say I'm like an amateur Whovian.
So you're amateur Whovian?
Yeah.
Like a semi-Whovian?
Yeah, just, you know what I mean? Getting there like a Who. And one day I'll be a Whovy and then a Whovian.
Oh yeah, there's levels to this. Yeah. A Lieutenant Whov.
I've just made that up and I'm still going to get told off. By the fans.
So just to clarify, where are you at with the production process? Have we wrapped? Are there still bits that we need to do?
No, we have wrapped. So the first episode is on at 6:45 on Sunday on BBC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's massive. Mm-hmm. We were away filming in Cardiff since end of last October.
Okay.
And so, you know, nearly a year later.
So Sunday the 7th of October, you will actually be able to see the fruits of your work.
Well, I have seen it. We had it.
Oh, you've got to see it.
Yeah, I've seen it. We had a premiere in Sheffield last week. It's based in Sheffield. Can I tell them that? It's based in Sheffield. So we took it back to the people and we had a premiere. So I have seen it in the cinema.
In the cinema?
In the cinema. And I had popcorn.
Was it what kind of popcorn was it?
It was mixed, but Jodie took it off me.
I like mixed popcorn. Shout out to Jodie, who obviously clearly likes it as well.
Yeah, I like mixed popcorn. It's a new thing because I only used to like sweet.
Check this, right? You ready for this? So when you get your popcorn, ask them to put a bit of sweet at the bottom, a bit of salt in the middle, and then like a mixture at the top. Yeah, then you just have sweet, get a bit of salt, and then you have dessert at the end. You're welcome. You're welcome.
So you want me to tell Margie their job?
Just telling you, when you're at the popcorn stand, that's how you ask for your popcorn. And then if they ask you why, you then share that knowledge with them, and they go, fair enough. I'd pay an extra 50p for that. If that was on the menu, I'd be like, can I have the dessert special,
please? I'll tell them what to do.
There you go. Right, there's also something else come up. I know you and Jodie have had a good laugh together, and there's been something that's been flying around in the airwaves. I'm just going to bring the audience up to date with this right now.
People find the way I say July really weird. Mandip laughs every time I say it. Who's in July. She says it's July.
So you say July.
July.
And Jodie says
July.
So you say
July.
And she says
July.
So you say
July.
And she says
July.
All right. Okay. Where did this come from?
So she says July all the time.
July.
It's like she says the word all the time. And I'm like, why are you saying it like that? July.
July.
It's like she's put July. Two syllables. July.
July.
But it's July.
July. It is one syllable.
But she's gone July. And so what I did is I took to Twitter after seeing this and I asked the people what they thought.
You asked them if they thought it was
July
or
July.
All right, fair enough.
And I'm not biased, but it came back with July.
It came back with July. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can relate to July.
Some people was like, you know what? I don't want to upset the doctor. So they went with her, but it's just one syllable. It's just July, but she does July.
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 It's one of those things, the more you say it, the weirder it sounds. July.
July.
I find July. It so weird.
July. July.
July. July.
Do you lie? No, I don't lie. I tell the truth.
Innit?
I tell the truth. So that's great, Doctor Who. That's amazing. I've got some more questions about that coming up, but I just wanted to talk about your journey as an actress as well, because I think it's always really interesting to find out about where people came from and how they got to where they are now. Apparently, you went to a really awesome university where legends go to.
And I'm now the dean.
You're the dean.
What? I don't know what it means.
What?
I don't know what it means.
You're the dean, yeah?
I'm a dean.
You're a dean? Really?
Yeah.
Of the University of Central Lancashire?
Mm-hmm. I accepted it the other day.
Apparently some other legends have gone there as well, you know.
Yeah, Eugene was really good. We had Gary.
Gary Hanks, yeah. Cool. Eugene Collins.
I think there was someone called Marcus.
There was somebody called Marcus there as well. So, I know I've heard about this before, but I think the listener might find it interesting, just what your journey was like.
Are you not going to find it interesting?
Nah, I'm well bored. Like, you're going about all the time. Every time, you're at Mandip's, like, oh yeah, my acting journey, and you can, oh, whatever, man. Yeah, you're the dean now, yeah, whatever. But, so tell us about how you got into acting and how UCLan played a part in kind of you getting to where you are now.
So I don't actually know how I got into acting, I'll be honest. I've just always done it.
Yeah.
So my dad's always made me sing like Hindi love songs to my brother.
Like what? Give me a...
Like, oh no!
Yeah, go on. Like, give us a little like squirt.
Go on. No, I'm not scared!
No, come on, man.
Go like this. Perlesi, perlesi,
jananahi. I had a reverb, mate. That put some... That was kind of vibey. What were you saying there?
I have no idea.
Okay, cool.
I have no idea, but it was a love song to my brother, so that was really weird.
Oh, that's lovely.
And we were about five, and he really weren't into it. But we used to have to get dressed up and got paid to do, like, you know, a little song like that on my own birthday.
What, you were earning a bit of cash on your birthday 50, for a little sing-along?
50p. So, no, but we actually, you know, I've worked until quite young and my dad has a news agent, so
I'm
just
aware
get paid for that. But so this was just a little top-up,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, I honestly don't know how I got into it. We just did it. I just did this really awful comedy show that was so cringe when I was about five. And I just went around the room and took the piss out of people. And they're all laughing. And when I look back, I'm just like, that's so rude. Whoever let their five-year-old just go around going, do, 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 baldy man. Do. It's so crazy. Like, it really makes me cringe.
Little shit.
So I think that just carried on.
Yeah.
That just, and I'm one of seven. and the youngest girl. So I've got five older sisters.
Right.
There's me and a brother. And so I think when you have that many people, you kind of have to be loud to get heard.
Yeah, I hear it.
And it honestly just carried on. I don't know where it came from. I just carried on. I went to, after school, I went to school. My high school helped me get to a college where I did a BTEC in performing arts. And then at the end of the BTEC, the teachers were like, we'll help you get to drama school, which I decided not to go with just because I'd heard loads of bad things. It was very expensive at the time and it was meant coming down to London. So I looked for a university, and the university I chose was UCLan in Preston.
UCLan? Sorry.
I just thought I was going to do it with you, but it's going to get weird.
3, 2, 1.
UCLan! I don't think as a dean I should be doing that.
That means you're repping the team, man.
So.
You're supposed to say UCLan.
UCLan. Yeah, and they had a really good acting degree.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going, I had to audition for the degree, and they had this module called biomechanics, and you basically just did really weird stuff, like exercise stuff, and it was so good. I just thought, I love it so much.
What, this sounds very sciencey. Biomechanics.
It does, doesn't it?
So what is,
it were, it were like frog jumps and stuff, and like, oh god, if, oh my god, I'm a dean and I'm meant to know.
This sounds, it's like gym.
It was there was a lot of exercise, but it taught you a lot about your body and movement, and we did like things like this.
She's doing a robot, just so you know, podcast
but
listeners.
I don't think it was a robot. I'm sorry, Terrence.
That was a good,
if you're listening. so I just really took to that degree, really.
All right.
And then headed to Preston for a few years. And then at the end of my degree, we did a showcase for agents. And I picked up an agent and I started auditioning whilst I was still in UCLan.
Nice.
And then, yeah, then I went on to Hollyoaks. Then after Hollyoaks, I did a few jobs. I moved to London after Hollyoaks. So I did things like casualty doctors, I did a drama called Love Lies and Records for BBC, another drama for ITV called Good Karma Hospital, and just did loads and loads and loads of meetings, meeting people, making sure they knew that I was out, that I was living in London. And then this big audition came up called Doctor Who.
Nice.
For a small part, I thought.
For a small part, but you still cried when you got it, which was nice. So now it's very feasible that like Hollywood could be a target for you. Is that somewhere where you'd like to go?
Realistically, I would never, ever, ever say no. I it would just be silly to, you know, the production values on some of their stuff are amazing. The stories, the acting, and absolutely. But I'm also not in a frame of mind in which I would go over to America anytime soon. I really, really enjoy British television. I like watching it. I like being in it. I like the stories that are coming out at the minute, like Bodyguard, for instance.
So sick.
So good. I love British television. So I would like to see what is here first. And I would also like to do theatre, because I've done theatre outside of London, but I haven't done it in a very, very long time. It's really hard to go between TV and theatre and keep moving between the two. But I think it would be an absolute challenge to do theatre.
How's theatre different to TV?
Well, you have to remember your lines, for one. You know, so like now I'm just like, I've got like about 10 lines in a scene, and we have a break so I can go have a cheeky little look. All the ladies there with the lines, so I check.
Feed me. Yeah, feed me the line.
But also for me, this could be controversial. I feel like it's the only medium in which you have to continually act, because the minute you get on stage, somebody's watching you, and so you can't drop it. Whereas when you do TV, not that I would anyway, but sometimes I'll be honest, I don't give, you know, if I have to cry and it's not on me, I'm not going to be bawling my eyes out, but I am going like 90%. But there are times when you know that the camera's moving and it's not on you, and you do stop acting. You know, you are completely aware.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Wear that. There's a boom guy there and there's a light there and you can't stand on that and your max there and there's so many other things that are happening. It's, for me, it's really difficult to be 100% in the moment because there's other things that are around that I have to be aware of. You know, I might be giving this massive emotional speech, but there's a guy with a boom and, you know, there's a camera guy and I can't go too close and I'm not on my mark and so I'm trying to feel my mark with my foot.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if, for me, when you do theatre, the minute you get on stage, that's it. You can't drop it. Okay. Somebody's watching you. Because when I go to watch theatre, sometimes I'm like, what's that man doing in the corner?
So what would an ideal sort of role in theatre be for you? Is there something you've seen recently that you'd like a bit of?
I would like to do a drama. I like quite like straight drama where I understand it, you know, and it's quite straightforward and challenging. But also, I'm really into things like companies like Complicity and Gecko, companies like that. It's physical theatre, so it's a story, but it's physical theatre. And this is where my biomechanics might come into handy.
Good old biomechanics.
And the really shit robot that I did.
It was, you know, a bit of WD-40 needed, but it was almost there, yeah.
Could scrub it up. I think I would love to do a piece of physical theatre. I'm not saying that I would be good at it, but it would be an absolute challenge. And I like that medium. I like mixing, because I'm not a dancer at all by any means. I mean, I can dance when I go to a club, but trying to give me choreography, it's okay, not my
you
thing.
You can drop it low, but you can't do it. And one, two, three.
That is exactly it. Drop it low, but no. And one, two, three, four.
So we like to talk about tech on this show quite a bit. Things like Netflix and Amazon Prime, as well as the BBC. I mean, Netflix and BBC are working together quite a bit. They're changing the landscape for actors and actresses. How do you think it's affecting your kind of position? Is it giving you more work? Is it giving you less? Or is it different?
I think the obvious answer is it's giving more work. There's so many more platforms other than the ones that you've just named. You know, you've got Amazon, you've got Netflix, you've got YouTube, you've got Facebook going to be creating original content. You've got people using their Instagram to create content. And that only means that there's more opportunities for me to get work. So that's amazing. And the budget and the themes on these platforms are massive and complex. And yeah, so just, I think simply way more opportunities that haven't come to me yet, Netflix.
Soon. Hey, Netflix, make it happen. Do you think those platforms will help young people to get recognised now, young actors that are on the come up? You know, when you were younger, you said you educated your way into acting, whereas other people now, we've seen them make profiles online and then break into acting that way.
A million percent. Like, I know loads of people that have made a career or money to some degree and have, you know, on these platforms, have happened to have been able to monetize their work on Facebook and YouTube. And that is so, like, that baffles me, because we were never taught them stuff when we were little. We were never taught to create our own work in that sense. But as soon as I came to London, everyone had their fingers in every pie. Like, they were, you know, they're not just actors, they're producers, they're writers, they're comedians, they're this and that. Like, it was so different when I was training to be an actor. I only wish somebody had said, I'll be honest, not that I write, so I don't know what I would have put on. But, you know, if somebody had said, look, you can put a little sketch on YouTube and then that can get seen and then you can write more. I didn't know any of that. I would just go into auditions, doing my own work to try and find auditions, but waiting for my agent predominantly to call. Get to London, and obviously it'll be outside of London now. And because of social media and because of Facebook and YouTube, people are able to create their own work, which is amazing. and the quality of work that has been created by friends of mine alone that have, you know, I've got friends that have worked on Shiro's story. It's been watched by millions of people. The quality of the work is mad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's Shiro's story is a great example. It got signed, basically, didn't it? Like, off the sheer fact it was so popular, whereas other people previously would have to approach labels first to get that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so. Exactly. This was produced by these guys and then bought, you know? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I have friends that are doing it the original way, and then going with an idea to a company and them going, no, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. They forget about the idea, they don't do it. These guys did it, made it, and then went, here's the actual product, and then someone's gone, cool, we'll do some more.
That's great. I mean, you say you're not writing at the moment. Do you think because it's so, not easy, but it's more accessible, would you like to do writing and stuff in the future?
I'll be honest. No. I tried to write, because yeah. I was a struggling actress.
Right.
And I tried to write, and I was like, what the hell is this? This is just not my thing. It's forced. It's not funny. Just stop it now.
What did you write?
I just wrote a sketch. I've got ideas. My ideas are better than the actual thing that came out. I was like, why didn't I just stick to the idea and give it to someone else?
So the ideas are good in your head,
yeah.
But something happens when it goes down your arm into the pen or the keyboard.
It's just not my thing. It's just, also, I just don't know how people do it. I don't know how people are just like actors and writers and producers and directors and then nice people. I just don't know how they do it. Just struggling, Marcus.
That's crazy. It's crazy out there. So you talk about TV a lot on your timeline. When I look at your Twitter, there's a lot of TV. I mean, I'm almost tempted to bring it up now and read off some. Shall I do it? Go on. Let's see what Twitter.
The funniest thing is, I always say to people, "Oh God, I don't watch much TV and stuff like that. I like documentaries. I don't watch much TV."
Oh really? Oh.
But then I'm also unsociable, so I find myself sat inside watching TV.
There you go. The first retweet here is Charlie Brooker's working on the next season of
Black Mirror.
It's
going to be interactive.
Oh my gosh.
What the hell?
Can't wait for that. Actually, that's quite an interesting thing. Do you think, because we can make television interactive and there's things like VR, do you think once they start, because we've here in the show, we've experienced film and VR getting meshed together now. Do you think that's definitely the way things are going to go? Would you be interested in working in stuff like that?
Well, I wouldn't have thought it was going to go that way. But then after reading that, and, you know, Charlie Brooker has predicted a lot of things that have happened, it's definitely going to go that way.
Mm.
And I'm obviously going to be a part of it, but how crazy is that? Like, how mad is that as a concept? I can't even fathom it.
I think it's going to mean that we're going to get thoroughly entertained, and I think the fact that we can have a little part in it means that, I don't know, it feels like we're almost there with
you acting. I might actually be like a director or something when I choose the ending of it.
What?
Finally.
You could actually write the story, technically. Actually, right. So yeah, there's a lot of July and July tweets flying around.
They told you.
But you watch a lot of TV, right?
I do actually, but not. I'm not a binge watcher. So
we just watch one and then stop.
Yeah, hand on heart. So like, wow. Killing Eve.
Yeah.
I'm only on episode 5 of 8, but I tweeted about it about a week ago. You know, I know people have been binge watched it. That's not me.
Right.
I definitely will watch it.
So is that what you're on at the moment?
So like, I'll move between things, me. So Killing Eve. Yeah. And then documentaries. I love, love, love documentaries.
What docs have you been on recently?
So I watched a really, really sad one yesterday. It was George Shelley's documentary on BBC about grieving, which really hit home with me. But also, it was just to watch somebody hurt that much, having gone through the process and still continue to go through the process was so overwhelming.
How important do you think it is in this day and age that people have a hold and understand how emotions work? Because there seems to be a very big conversation about how people handle certain emotions, whether it be anxiety or depression or even grievance as well. How important is it that we kind of educate ourselves and learn about these processes?
I mean, ridiculously important, because I don't know if it's for everyone, but years ago we just didn't talk about such things. Like, they were taboo, or you know you felt embarrassed by them. Also, you know, no disrespect, but me and my family, we don't speak about stuff like that. It's just not something that we talk about, like mental health or you know, when we was grieving and whatnot. So it's ridiculously important. But I think it also, like, if you learn from a young age that these are all normal emotions to experience, when there are outbursts of them, you don't feel alone and weird. You just, like, it's a normal part of life. When I was growing up, no one told me how difficult life was going to be. And so I thought it was really plain sailing, which it were up until my 20s. And then life happened, and that took me aback because I weren't ever taught that you will go through loads of things, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It's just natural. It's life. And I had no one to speak to because we don't speak about it. Whereas now, because of platforms like Twitter, Instagram and whatnot, everybody speaks openly about it.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine that's a good thing.
It is indeed. And I mean, and as an actor, you're in a very good place right now. But as we all know, things can, you can have quiet areas of your career and busy areas of your career. Do you feel that that means that you, especially actors all over the world, have to kind of help maintain their own kind of positive vibe out there and kind of the, and kind of maintain a steady emotional state? Because I know that you can have a real busy year and a quiet year.
Absolutely, but you have to maintain something yourself. But I also, I'm a big believer in, you have to, like, your acting cannot be your everything. Because like you said, like I could have, I've just had the most amazing year of my career. I don't know what's coming up. And I might not work for 2 years or 3 months or whatnot. But I have never put all my eggs in acting basket because it's just, for me personally, it's just too dangerous. And I go to an audition and I'm lucky enough to go to an audition, walk out of it, have done my best job, but beyond my way home to do lines for another audition. And so I forget about the audition that I've done. Right. Because I'm already on to my next one, but not everybody's like that. So I think, you know, and I said it to a friend the other day, find something else that you love. Because if there was anything else that I loved as much as I love acting, I would have done it. I would have done it in a heartbeat because it's too unstable. But at the same time, I don't know where my eggs are, but they're not all in that basket.
Some are in the fridge.
Some are in the fridge. Some are probably cracked.
Some are still at the shop.
But I just have to go. Like, there are other things in my life.
Yeah.
So when my, you know, I've had months off before, you know, before Who, I hadn't worked since March. I'd done a drama for BBC and it finished in March. And then I didn't get this until October. And I was auditioning all the time. But I just, life's too short. Life's too short for me if I don't get a part, for me to worry about it and think why, because I should have given it my best shot when I went in.
Right. So how do you keep your energy levels up when you're just consistently auditioning? Is it just a case of just keeping that in mind? Just saying, look, let's get it done and I'll give it my best shot.
Well, also when I am busy with my auditions, I don't do too much of an evening. So I'll do my audition, I'll head back out of Central, I'll start doing my lines for the next one. You know, I've got a wash and straighten my hair again, if that's what the character needs. I'm going back out, I'm doing my lines, going back out. Like, I'm not the most sociable person you'll ever meet. Like, ridiculously unsociable.
Oh, how things have changed since you, clan. You're like, I only go out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, £1 drinks on a Thursday.
Only to your night. Oh, yeah. Thursday, yes. Brown.
Indeed. Brown, closed down now.
What? I'm not a big...
Really?
I hate it.
Well,
I'm the dean of the university. So.
Definitely edit that out.
So I don't do too much. It's not like I go for an audition and then on the night time I'm eating with friends or I've got an event on. I came to London to work, so I now need to come to London and get a job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that was the only reason I came, was for work.
Fair enough. You mentioned a shop a couple of times. How is the shop now? Because I remember when you were in Hollyoaks, you were still putting in the grind at the Gill shop.
So the shop's good. And I don't go to Leeds that often, but I imagine if I did, I would still have to work in the shop.
Good.
Now, if my mum's got something on or my dad's got a wedding or something and I'm the only one there, I'm going to have to still
get
do it.
Get in the shop. Get in the shop.
But people think they're like, you can't work in shop now, you're on Doctor Who. I'm like, dude. Do you think my mum cares I'm on Doctor Who? She put out The Guardian. She has to count The Guardian. And she puts them out and I'm on the front page. Did she tell me? No.
No.
I had to text her and say, is The Guardian the same as the one in Sheffield? Because I think I might be on it. And she went, yeah, you are. So you just counted 60 and put them on. And when we got revealed and we were on The Sun, the front, she did the same. She counted and put them out and didn't say you're on the paper, which I quite like. Because it just means that I have to, like, maintain this level of, like, normalness, and that's why I can still work in the shop.
I think that's what keeps you ground. I think that's a very charming personality trait to have.
Asking your mum, please, can you keep a picture of me, mum?
And she's like, well, that's another paper that can get sold. Sailor return, baby. Sailor return. I'll take a picture. We'll take a picture. Yeah. I mean, that's lovely. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the reasons why you are so grounded. I mean, outside of acting, when you've got your own time, we always like to ask people how they kill time. So how do you do that? Is it kind of working on yourself, or is there any other stuff you do when you're not watching TV all the time?
So, no.
Sleep. Yeah, sleep.
Just lots of documentary. Yeah. No, not sleep. Like, I'm going to a lot more things now because yeah. I'm in London for a few months. So I'm trying to just, you know, meet new people and do new things. But generally I am working on another audition piece to go to another audition and trying to do work because that is what ultimately I came to London for.
Yeah.
So I don't really like eating out. I'm really fussy when it comes to food.
Really?
Yeah. So my thing might be the cinema. So
Remember the popcorn trick. Remember that.
Maybe that'll change the game.
Listen, that's going to turn the whole game upside down.
Actually, I don't like salted popcorn, so I don't know why I'd be up for that.
Just try it out. It will make the sweet even better. You'd be like, oh, gosh, this is... It's amazing.
So maybe I'll go to cinema more. But yeah, generally, I just go to the... I go do a lot of cinema trips. Watch a lot of documentaries, a lot of TV, tweet a lot. Mm. You know, do a lot of washing and stuff like that. And just... I'm starting to... like about a year and a half ago, I just did random stuff. So I learned how to play, taught myself how to play the keyboard. I forgot that. At uni, I taught myself how to play the ukulele. Forgot that.
I'd love to see that.
I forgot it. I hurt my wrist and I've now got weak wrists. So
you got that ukulele, RSI.
Go like that. And now I can't hold myself up. I taught myself how to knit. And like I learned them really quickly off YouTube and I'll do it for a few weeks. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm over that.
What did you knit?
I just like, I didn't know how to cast off, so it got longer and longer and longer and longer.
So, an infinite scarf.
It just went like that, and I was like, ma'am. So I stopped that, and I've currently just bought like a little drum thing where, it, you know, like a little silent pad, so all I right. can, because I'm going to take up drumming.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
So you're like, Miss Try, I'll try everything.
Yeah, and I'll teach myself it. I'll tell everyone I can do it, but I actually can't.
You're like one of those people. Yeah, I can do a bit of that. Yeah, can you drum? Yeah, I'm a wicked drummer. Ukulele? Yeah, I've got you.
I do that all the time on my CV. I put swimming on. I was like, all right, so you're going to do a big swimming stunt on Hollyoaks. I went, what? It's like, but you can swim. It's on your CV. I had to teach myself how to swim.
Wow. Wow. But you can swim now, right?
Oh. I mean, that's debatable.
Did you have to do any swimming in Doctor Who?
No.
Okay.
Not me.
Slipping in some more Doctor Who questions there. What's the Doctor like in this season as well? What's the difference between? Because you know they're the same person, different characters though.
Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, I've said I've watched Doctor Who, but I mostly watch Matt Smith's episodes. So I've seen little bits of other Doctors, but you know she's just. I mean, if you ever met her in real life, she's absolutely bonkers.
Right.
She's full of energy. It's like she's the coolest person I've ever met. But if she's watching this, I don't like her. but just imagine her doctor's that and then some. Like, it's written amazingly. Like, she's so fast and so funny and so there's so much electricity about her. Like, she just like fizzes. She's just like, and she's always on the move and chaotic and funny and charming and just interesting to watch as a person and as the doctor.
Awesome. Will you be doing any drumming in Doctor Who?
Hopefully when I start pressing.
Okay, all right, cool. That's nice. So you must have had some pretty cool press runs then and stuff. Like, what's been some of the coolest stuff that you've seen? I know you said Comic-Con was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that
we went, must, I mean, being taken insane. To San Diego.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. San Diego was pretty cool as well, wasn't it? Nice place.
We didn't see much of it because we were working, but I'm not complaining. And we was in a really haunted hotel.
What?
Yeah. And I didn't want to talk about it at the time. And then we started talking about it after. And Stephen, who sat next to me, it was his room that was haunted. And on the internet, it was like, oh, basically a woman had committed suicide.
And
he was in the room.
Stephen was in full knowledge of this.
Yeah, he weren't bothered. Stephen, you weren't bothered.
He found out on the last day.
Well, that's a good time to find out. At least it wasn't like, was it nighttime when you found out? Or was it, you didn't find out because the ghost went, hey, by the way.
Would you have been bothered to know that?
I had one more night in it.
He said he had one night in a haunted hotel. Stronger man than me.
I know, like, because he told us, and I was like, Stephen, why are you talking about it? Let's just not talk about it. We were in a van. I was like, let's not talk about it. He's like, I'm not bothered. I was like, no, I just don't want to speak about it, even if it's not my room. But my room, it was a really gorgeous hotel.
Yeah.
But my room, the bathroom light went on every single night by itself.
Haunted. Ghost-like bathroom.
Because we were on the same wing, weren't we? Yeah. And so I didn't want to talk about it.
Really?
I just thought, because you know what? If she's doing her thing, she's doing her thing, and I didn't want to interrupt it. And I was just like, if I talk about it, then you know people are going to start like talking about her and inviting her into our lives. And I was just like, yeah. Do your thing in my bathroom.
Someone comes on with a Ouija board, and you're like, no. They're like, go on, let's just whack it down.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
So what if you need to go for a pee at night and the light goes on in the room?
No, because I just knew what would happen. So I'd phone a friend in England and get under the bed, phone, right, phone. wake up and the light were on. I was like, oh, God, let me not talk about it.
Haunted hotels. Do you believe in ghosts, though?
I believe in spirits, yeah. I just don't think you can just disappear. Well, we're a cell. We weigh something. So how can energy. That ever disappear?
Yeah, all right.
So something. And I just like, just let them do their thing. And if I don't interrupt them, then they might not interrupt my life. I hope. They also had a sauce on the menu named after the girl.
What?
It's a little bit weird. It's called Ghost Sauce, and it was her name.
Ghost Sauce.
And it was on the burger. It's a bit tight, that, isn't it?
Ghost, like, so what was this ghost sauce like? What was
it? There's a spicy sauce.
There's a burger that you had.
And then you asked for the girl's name, Ghost Sauce.
So say the girl's name is Jessica, right?
Jessica Ghost Sauce.
So you have, can I have a burger, extra slice of cheese, and some Jessica Sevilla.
Jessica Ghost Sauce. Don't you think that's proper tight, that they named the sauce after
They
her?
Named the sauce after the ghost. No wonder the ghost is still haunting the hotel. I would as well. If you named us just the sauce after me, I want to have like a room after me or like, I don't know, a suite. A sauce? What kind of disrespect is that? A condiment?
So we had quite a spicy sauce, so it was quite nice.
Okay, cool.
But I mean, it was a really nice hotel. So
cheers, Jess.
I'd
cheers
go back. The
sauce. Really? Why did they name the hot sauce after Jess? Was she a fan of this sauce, Jessica Sauce?
No, I just think because it's very famous for it's the ghost, isn't it? So a lot of people go with the intention of seeing the ghost. So you know what I mean? They've just monetized it.
I just noticed you say ghost.
Girl.
And I say ghost.
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 We won't have one of them again.
July.
Mandy, before we let you get out of here, because I know you're super busy with all the Whovians out there and Whovian
stuff.
Oh,
God,
to
it's
do.
A hard life.
It is a hard life out there. How can we find out about what you're up to online? I mean, and we know what your Twitter is because we just type in Mandip Gill TV and all the tweets pop up.
Is it?
Yeah, because you do a lot of TV tweets. No, but seriously, how can we find you online?
So on Twitter, I am Mandip Gill. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, I am MandipGill_.
Right.
And that's the only two social media outlets I have. But
what's
you'll
your favorite?
Find all my feelings and thoughts.
What's your favourite? It's looking very
I don't
happy.
Do you know what?
I saw you. Oh, these are the space buns.
Yeah.
Is that the space buns?
No, right. I did them in my own personal life.
Oh, they're Mandip's
personal
buns.
But I did take them
buns.
Off Yasmin Khan.
Okay, cool. Yasmin Khan buns.
I also went to the audition like that.
Really?
Just saying. What's my favourite? Do you know what? I like them both. I really like them both. I like a picture. But I am a big fan of Twitter, and I know a lot of people are. They think it's like outdated or a bit older, but I just quite like...
I feel like Twitter is where the real conversation is at. I feel like other social media, because Instagram does tweak your feed, so if obviously I'm mates with you, if I like a picture, show me a bit more of you. But Twitter is like, when if you get into Twitter, that's where the real rawness
is
at.
Yeah, and the threads are great. And also you can just like, I now have more than 140 characters as well, and I'm not quite sure why. I'm one of them ones.
Wow.
So I can say a lot more.
We all have 140 now. So, you know, it's, yes.
You
so,
have more than 140?
So you have to be careful with those extra digits there, man.
Why? What do you mean?
Just because, like, some people over-tweet.
Too, yeah,
like,
yeah,
I think the cool thing about Twitter was brevity, innit?
Yeah.
And some people are like, yeah, well, yeah,
and
yeah,
also,
yeah,
you
yeah.
can, like, you did only just, like, really look at the first two lines.
Exactly,
and go,
yeah. If your tweet ain't banging in the first few lines.
Oh, no. I've done loads. I like 240. They've got gifts and everything.
SATs. I'm also looking at Instagram as well, and I can see you chilling with a few people from Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well.
Oh, you know, as you do.
I just want to say, I am super jealous. That's one of my favourite comedy shows that I like to stream as well. How did that picture happen?
Because Jodie Foster.
Really? Because she's in the picture looking all innocent, and you're in the middle like, yeah!
She's a massive, massive, massive fan.
Right.
And she makes us watch it, like, on set in her trailer and whatnot. And they happened to be in Comic-Con at the same time doing a photo shoot.
Yeah.
And she heard that they were coming after us. So she got Stephen and his people to sort it out and then tried to act really cool in front of him.
Yeah. Like, that's awesome, man. Like,
but they were really cool. They were really, really cool. Like one of the actresses, Steph, did a Yorkshire accent. And
really?
I just completely, it was really good Yorkshire accent. It was a really good Yorkshire accent. But they were really, really nice. And then we were doing all
is
the
Steph
press.
The one that plays Rosa Diaz, the one who's really straight-faced and like, since, yeah, she plays like a really straight straight character in it. Yeah.
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 Yeah, she does.
What? And she did a Yorkshire accent.
She did. And no, it was actually genuinely really good. And then she tweeted me after saying, "I'm really sorry about the Yorkshire accent," but I was like, "No, it was not offensive in the slightest."
That's awesome. That's awesome. I could see you on a show like that. I could see you on a funny show.
Well, you say, how do you maintain energy? I don't know how they do that on sets. I've never done a comedy.
Really?
No.
You're quite banterific in real life. I feel like it'll come across easily for you. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I'm not anymore. I've just, you know, with age and that, I've just calmed down.
Yeah.
I've met people like Brad and Jodie and they just do it better. And you just leave it to the professionals.
Was Terry Crews enormous as he is
Yeah, he's
on
a big
show?
Guy. He's
he
a
is
lad.
A big guy. Big he's friendly big giant.
Fair Actually, enough. You're the one that got all the pictures, isn't it? Stephen.
Shout out to Stephen out here, man. Mr. No, Dr. No today, saying that we can't talk about certain stuff. But we've managed to get... I mean, what can we get another gem out of you about Doctor Who? Is there anything that I haven't asked you?
Do you know what? It's really cool. Oh, what? What?
What?
Is that...
Is it okay? I thought it was real. The publicist has shown us a leg. I was ready to drop an exclusive out here. I was like, guys, you know what's happening? We're gonna get a Lego man. That has to happen. That Lego has to see that. We have to get a Lego. Can we show that to the camera, please? That's amazing. This needs to happen. This needs to happen. There we go. A Lego man. A Lego man. Is that right? A Lego Yaz Khan. That's awesome. Oh, we've been told we can talk about something.
We went to South Africa.
You went to what, as part of Doctor Who?
Yeah, we went to go film in South Africa.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you what episodes we used it for, but okay. Like there's different terrains in South Africa. And it was cool. It was so cool. Like, oh, the second episode of Doctor Who just looks... I haven't seen it all. I've just seen bits and it just looks so good.
Right.
The amount of videos I've got, like, wow, this is just me on the way to work. I don't put them anywhere, I don't send them to anyone, but I'm like, wow, me on the way to work.
Is that you're gonna have really bumpy?
Yeah. It's just so cool.
Wicked.
So that was cool. You know what I can tell you about Doctor Who? It really, honest to God, it is, whether I'm in it or not, it is something that I would absolutely watch. Like, right. I hope that people, there's so many different ways of jumping on, so you can relate to Brad's character or even if you follow Brad's career, you jump in with him. But I hope it brings people like me and Tosin, who would never have watched it before and never thought it appealed to them. I hope it brings in them because I have learned so much from the stories that are in it. I just want other people to learn it as well. And I can't talk about them, but some of the episodes are brilliant.
Well, you're going to have to get your eyes on television Sunday, 7th of October. If not, get on that BBC iPlayer, right?
Just watch it on
watch
the day.
It. Watch it on the watch it right
just
now.
Just watch it on the Sunday, 7, yeah. You know, 6:45.
6:45.
Watch it at 6:45 on Sunday at the 7th on BBC. Okay. Not on the iPlayer.
Listen, it's a great time of the week for it to be on. Sundays is a really good time. Because everyone's out on a Friday and Saturday, aren't they?
And also, it is appealing to from the ages of 8 to 108. So, you know, the kids are like winding down before school. You know, you've done, the older people have been out on a Saturday and, you know, Sunday fun day, you know, it's calmed down by that time.
All right, wicked. Well, I look forward to watching it. It's always a pleasure seeing your face on the screen. You'd be like, oh, look, I know her. And everyone goes, not really. Do you really though? Do you really?
I do that still.
Like, we went uni together. Yeah, sure.
I do it to Bat before time. Like, do you know him? I'm like, I saw him at an audition.
I added him once on Twitter.
And
did he like it?
Nah. If you at me back, I know him.
Yeah, at you back, family. That's what they are, relation. Anyway, thank you very much for killing some time with us, Mandip.
Thank you for having me.
No? More than well. I'll be Marcus Bronzy. And you've been
Mandip Gill.
There you go. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you. For killing some time with us.
People find the way I say July really weird. Mandip laughs every time I say it. Who's
go on,
in
do it again.
July. July.
Jesus,
it's
yeah.
July. July.
Did you edit that while we were talking?
July.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.